Psalm 104. We're going to finish this tonight, God willing. And I'd like to read the last three verses there. We're going to really look at the last verse. But I want you to notice the contrast between someone who recognizes God as the Creator, as His Redeemer, the One who provides every need and sustains everything throughout all of creation. And notice the attitude that the psalmist David had, how his heart is, as he contemplates the glory of God and the greatness of creation and the power of His providential working in his life. He's filled with praise. His heart is rejoicing. He is singing. And then contrast that with what he says about the wicked in the last verse. And it as I thought about this today, an overwhelming majority of people in the world at any given time rarely think upon the glory and the greatness of God and His salvation. And it's sad as I think of people that I've witnessed to, that I've shared the gospel with, that have died in their sins and are going to spend an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. It is a reality, but there is a stark contrast between somebody who's saved and who's rejoicing in the Lord and someone who does not regard God, who remains in unbelief, who dies in their sins and suffers the wrath of God. They have no joy, no hope, no light. And I can't help but think how many people we know that are miserable in their sins. And what a joy it is to really know that you're saved. Tonight, when I came into the house of God, what a joy, an exuberance, being able to meet with God's people, to sing, to praise Him, to exalt Him, to rejoice in the presence of Christ who is walking among this golden candlestick of a church tonight. Oh, that God would help us to realize how much He is worthy of praise. He says in verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. What a great resolution. Let's all of it make it tonight. Let's make this our resolution. Lord, I'm going to sing for Your glory as long as I have breath, as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Wonderful resolution. When you read the Psalms, consider how many times David resolves to do something. And you know that's what God's people ought to do. We ought to live every day on purpose. Let's wake up tomorrow singing His praises, rejoicing in His salvation. Verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I'm going to think on Him. And my thoughts of Him are going to be so wonderful and scriptural and God-honoring that it's going to be a sweetness to me. Something that I delight in and rejoice in. And as a result, I'm going to be glad. I will be glad in the Lord. Another resolution. And then it says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Now he ends the psalm the same way he started it. He said in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. He was consistent in his praise, in his adoration, in his worship throughout this psalm. He begins it and ends it in the very same way. But he makes a point here. After spending 34 voices, that's the New York version, 34 verses explaining all the glories of God in creation. And then he says, but there are people who don't recognize the glory of the Lord, who don't see the heavens that declare the glory of God and the firmament that show forth His glory and His honor. And he says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Those that do not recognize God as the Creator of both the physical universe, physical life, as well as spiritual life. He is the Creator of everything that you see. He is in control of all matter, all time, all space. But He is also the one who is the author of spiritual life. He is the Creator of spiritual life in each and every one of His elect. What a wondrous, glorious thing if you've been brought out of deadness into life. Out of darkness into light. And it's all because of God's creative power in the new birth. But there are people that do not recognize God as the Creator or Christ as the Redeemer and the Savior of men. And they will one day be banished from the glories of God's creation. It says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. I believe God has a purpose for this earth. And Jesus Christ is going to come back with His saints to the earth to live and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And then He's going to purge the universe after the great white throne, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and the reign will continue. I think something interesting happens at the beginning of the millennium when Christ comes to the earth, and at the end of the age, if you will, after the great white throne judgment. Two very similar events. And it's concerning, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. I've brought this out before. But look what the Bible says in verse 22. Proverbs 2:22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Very similar to the language, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 30. Very similar verse. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Now, these are little prophetic gems in the book of Proverbs that have never come to pass. From Adam up till this very moment, the wicked are in the earth. In fact, they're the majority. All right, let's look at a few of the Psalms. Turn over to Psalm 37 and verse 22. You see, there is coming a day when God is going to banish the wicked from the earth, when Christ begins to reign upon the earth. I'm going to show you that, put this together in just a moment. Look at Psalm 37, verse 22. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth. Remember, the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, we haven't inherited it yet. But they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. Very similar to the language in Psalm 104. All right, look at verse 34, same chapter. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Ye shall see it. Now, turn over to Psalm 101 and verse 8. Now, I'm leading up to something, so pay attention. Now's not the time to nap. Psalm 101, look at verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You know, God is going to cut the wicked off from the earth. Turn over to Matthew 13. And I believe this is a parable that has kingdom implications. Matthew 13. In verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather, listen carefully, they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, sinners, will be consumed from the earth. They will be cut off. They will be gathered up as tares. And it says in verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, now notice, there's a time word. Then, after the wicked are purged from the kingdom, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So when precisely is this going to take place? I believe at the beginning of the millennium in the judgment of the nations. Turn with me at Matthew chapter 25. And again, notice the time words. Words like when and then. Matthew 25, 31. By the way, the judgment of the nations takes place on the earth. It occurs at the end of the tribulation, at the very, and really at the beginning, when Christ comes in the second advent. And He establishes His reign upon the earth in the millennial reign. Here's the first order of business. Again, notice the time words. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Now, that hadn't happened yet. And all the holy angels with Him. Then, shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. Alright, so where do nations dwell? The earth. This is going to happen on the earth. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep... Boy, you better say that carefully. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand... This is his elect, his sheep. These are people who are saved, who have survived the tribulation. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They enter into the kingdom. Okay? What happens to the goats? The goats are going to be removed. They're going to be purged. They're going to be taken out of the kingdom. He says in verse 45, then he shall answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So the outcome of this, the judgment of the nations, there are going to be people who enter into the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies that are not glorified. Now, this is the only way you can explain what's going to happen at the end of the millennial reign. Okay? What happens at the end of the 1,000 years? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And again, I've always made the point about Revelation 20. Near everything in this passage I take literally, because I believe that the devil is a literal created being. I believe Christ as King is a literal being. I believe that the great white throne of judgment is literal. That the resurrection of the unjust, of the damned, is a literal resurrection. So why wouldn't I believe that the 1,000 years are literal? Everything else is. In context. But notice what it says. Now, remember what I said. At the beginning of the kingdom, of the millennium, He's going to gather out all the tares, all the lost. He's going to consume them from the earth. There, at the very beginning of the millennium, there will be no lost people entering into the kingdom. None! So how does this happen? Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So how do you get this multitude of people at the end of the millennium who are rebelling against God, against Christ, against the King? Where do those people come from? Well, those people who enter the kingdom in their natural bodies are going to have the ability to procreate. They're going to have children. And because they don't have glorified bodies, and the ease of childbearing is going to be, it's going to come back, because the curse is going to be lifted for the most part during the millennium, I believe that there's going to be lots of people born. Why is it that it's during the millennium Christ is said to rule with a rod of iron? He will rule. People will bow. They will listen to His dictates. All the nations will do whatever He bids. But there's still going to be lost people who are never converted. I believe people are going to be saved during the millennium. Just like they're saved now. See? But you're going to have a whole multitude of people at the end of the 1,000 years that when Satan is released from the bottomless pit, they're going to go with him in one final battle, and he's going to be destroyed or defeated and then cast into the lake of fire. All right? So at the beginning of the millennium, he purges the kingdom. And at the end of the millennium, he is going to... This will be the final defeat of Satan and sin. And all those in sin. And the very next event will be the great white throne judgment. And he's going to put all the wicked in a place called the lake of fire. Where that is, I don't know. I don't know where the lake of fire is. But I don't believe it's on the earth. Because it says that he's going to consume the wicked from off the earth. At the end of the millennium, he's going to purge, or after the great white throne judgment, he's going to purge the universe of everything that defiles. And in chapter 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And guess what? This new earth, there will never be a sinner occupying, living on this new earth. So all those verses that we read that talked about the wicked being purged from the earth, consumed, taken away, it's going to happen at the beginning of the millennium and really at the beginning of when he ushers in the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now here's another little thing that I found that was very interesting. The way he ends this psalm, Psalm 104, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth and let the wicked be no more. Can you imagine a day when you're not surrounded by wickedness and ungodliness and blasphemy and people using the Lord's name in vain? There's coming a day in God's plan and His purpose that the wicked will be no more. All of our companions in glory are going to be compatible. We're all going to love the Lord. We're all going to be washed in the blood. We're all going to be indwelt by the Spirit. And the wicked shall be no more. And I just thought this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. This is the first time in the book of Psalms that you have the hallelujah. That's what praise ye the Lord means. Hallelujah. You know what it's linked to? God's righteous judgment in purging the wicked from the earth. He says, bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah! You know where the last hallelujah is in the Bible? It's in Revelation 19. And it's associated with the judgment of the great whore and the wrath of God. chapter 19, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at His hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." It's hard for us to understand this, but when we have glorified eyes and hearts and minds, and we see things exactly as God does, we're going to praise Him when He executes His judgments against the wicked. But all, let us pray for those who despise the Creator, who reject the Redeemer, and pray that God will save them. Because it's real. God will judge. I hope you know Him tonight.